I'm turning back to Exodus chapter 21. And in this chapter, just a brief summary. God gives to the Israelite, the children of Israel, through His servant Moses, laws concerning relation between master and servants. And by the way, these servants here are referring to servants who are of the children of Israelite. And the laws given here are to the Jewish masters, and how they ought to treat their servants, who are actually their brethren, how they are to be treated. And also in this chapter you find that Moses also gave them the laws regarding murder in verse 12. And also later on, which we did not read in the rest of the verses in this chapter, concerning personal injury and liability for harm done by dangerous livestock, how the owner of that beast or that animal that has hurt or destroyed the property of the neighbor, how that need to be compensated. So you see, basically from the word of God, that's where we have our laws. The principles are actually from Scripture. But our attention this morning is on verses 5 to 6. Verses 5 to 6. And if thy servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. We read here something, or rather we read here sometimes, the Hebrew servant, although they are given the liberty to go free at the end of their 6 years of service, that servant could decide, given the liberty to decide whether to leave the master or not. And if he had married one of his master's female servant and had children, and he became so attached to the master that he decided to stay on. He preferred to stay with this master and to continue to serve him and his family. So he has, according to God's law, he has this liberty, and the master must allow it. Now, as God did not wish his people to be in slavery again, so here he teaches them the blessing or the nobility of liberty, of freedom. And so God made this ordinance that a man who wished to remain in servitude should be attested by somewhat, in the case of the Jews or the Jewish servant in the Old Testament. They have to be attested by a very painful ritual or a ceremony. And God made it a law that this ritual should be administered to him in public before the judges. And so from this Old Testament ceremony or rite, I shall use it to bring out a spiritual meaning for us, the New Testament believers. First, I want to refer you to Psalm 40. And there in that Psalm, you will read where the Lord Jesus speaks of himself as having had his ears bored or pierced. The expression in the 40th Psalm is this: sacrifice and offering thou dost not desire, my ears hast thou opened. Now that word open in the Hebrew text is to dig, as in digging, as in making a hole or making an opening. So Christ's ears then were pierced, were bored, that he might, from his own voluntary choice, be of servant to God the Father forever. And so let us begin our study of this text. And I'd like to, for our first lesson, I have put it as Christ voluntarily had his ears pierced. Our Lord Jesus, the second person in the Triune Godhead, says, my ears hast thou opened. I am sure upon the first reading of this text, many of us, including myself, we will not be able to fully and truly comprehend this statement, this spiritual truth from the lips of our Lord Jesus. And so, in this short time that we have, and I suggest that perhaps if you so like to, you can go back in your own private devotion to meditate on this text. My ears hast thou opened. Can we comprehend it? What does it mean? What is the Lord Jesus saying to us? Think of it. Think of it this way. There in the psalm, the psalmist is actually speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so think of it this way, brethren. The creator of the heaven and earth, the second person of the Triune Godhead, the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus should thus come to be the servant of servants. That he who is God over all, blessed forever, and who, according to the word of St. Paul, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and be made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and being found in fashion as a man, should become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, how are we to understand this? Do we get the gist of this verse? When the Lord Jesus Christ first appeared on earth, he was in the servant's place. He was the son of a carpenter, and he was laid in a manger. And by the way, when Christ came in his first advent, and there was no room, and his parents had to bring him, or they have, the whole family, have to stay in a manger. There was no room left. And often in During the time of Christmas in December, you will receive Christmas cards, isn't it? Or you will send Christmas cards, and many of those Christmas cards will have pictures of the manger where baby Jesus is lying, and with all this very cozy candlelight. But often that picture is not a true picture. Why? There's something missing there. Whoever the artist who drew that gave us the impression that, oh, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. At least he has a nice warm place with all this. But is it really a pleasant place to be in a manger? You know what is a manger? For those of us who are living in a city, we have no idea of what exactly is a manger. We only see from there, oh, it's a place where they put all these straws for the animals, for the cattle, and this and that, and it is clean, dry. But we miss one thing. It's not a very pleasant place to sleep, or to stay, or to live. Why? Because of the smell. The picture does not give you that sense. The artist who draw that can never give you that sense. Our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Creator. Well, think of it, brethren, how often when we think of the Lord Jesus, we think that He is, oh, such a lovey-dovey Savior. And we forget that He is the Creator God who rules above, the Almighty, who spoke creation into existence. And so when the Lord Jesus, He came in the place of a servant. He was the son of a carpenter, and He was laid in a manger. And when He came forward to begin His active life and ministry of the gospel at 30, that life is one continual humble service. The people would have made Him a king, but He preferred to remain the servant of all. You see, this servitude spirit in the life of Christ, from the first to the last of His earthly life, and even for all eternity. For even in the view of the cross, He took a towel and girded Himself, and then a basin, and showing He was still a servant, He washed His disciples' feet. Well, to help us just to think a little deeper, do you think the Prime Minister of this country or any other nation, do you think the King of this country will do that to you? Can you imagine if King Charles, the new King of this country, do that? What would you do when he comes to you with a basin of water and a towel and kneel before you and clean your feet? I'm quite sure you will straight away refuse it. You will feel so embarrassed that he who is a king. But here, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a servant still when He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as the last act of obedience that was possible, He bowed His head and says, "Not my will, but thine be done." And He yielded up the ghost. Our Lord Jesus might have broken free. Our Lord Jesus has all the power. And I am quite sure many of you, like me, will have missed one portion of that text or verse when the high priest and all the soldiers that came or at the Garden of Gethsemane, when they together with Judas the betrayer, and when they saw Jesus as Judas identified him, they said, and Jesus said to them, and or rather when they asked, is he Jesus? And that reply from the Lord Jesus, that reply from the Lord Jesus, do you notice? We read in John 18 verse 5 and 6 that Jesus, when he replied, I am he. What happened? The high priest, all of them, the whole group, at an instant, they fell backwards. And this proved the power of Christ has and could have delivered himself. Christ could have finished them off with just one word, and they will be all gone. Gone for all eternity. Or we can say, disintegrate out of the earth. You get it? You understand right now of the power of Christ, of who Christ is? And oftentimes we have this in our mind, oh Jesus, our Savior, as though He is our equal. And we do not honor Him. We do not reverence Him. When we come to worship Him, how do we come? We come carelessly. And of course, we proudly say, yeah, I'm here to worship the Lord. Oh, really? Where is your heart? Where is my heart? Where is your mind? Have you prepared yourself before you came, before you come into the house or into His presence? Are you aware? Are you keenly aware that you are coming into the presence of this God, this King of Kings? This person who has all the power to do as He pleases. So our Lord Jesus, He claims that He was voluntarily a servant, and especially that His obedience and His sacrifice unto death were His absolutely willing offering. He says of His life, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. John 10:18. However, the Lord Jesus had given us His ear to be bold, to be pierced. And He remained His Father's servant even unto death. Willingly, without a struggle, like the passive lamb, Jesus gave Himself as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And holy was the servant of His Father. And so, brethren, if you are truly a believer, born of the Spirit, this is a delightful truth. And I suggest that all of us regularly reflect upon this, because it's simply too profound for us to truly understand it, to really feel inside us this thankfulness, this reverence and honor that we ought to give to God, to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so lacking, isn't it? Our minds, our hearts are so occupied, clouded with so many things of this life which are necessary and legitimate. But I suggest we must discipline ourselves as true believers in Christ to regularly not just read through and skim through the Word or the Bible and satisfy our own conscience that we have read the Word of God, I have prayed, I have done my quiet time, and that's it, I fulfilled my duty. Brethren and friends, you can do all this, even coming to the church, as I say, regularly and on time, and discipline yourself and be here every Lord's Day. You can do all this mechanically, perfunctorily, with no feeling, no heart in it. And same for me too. I can preach the Word of God every Lord's Day, taking upon myself, it is my duty. If I don't get my sermon out, I have no choice. Even if I do not sleep, I have to get ready the Word. But I can also do it perfunctory, just fulfill my responsibility as the minister of the gospel, and that's it. But God knows our heart. And so I suggest, in order to stir up that feeling in us, that true emotion of love and devotion and appreciation of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, each one of us, young and old, as Christian believers, let us reflect upon it, especially when we remember that our Savior wears that print of the open ear still. For your sake, for my sake, He does not hold His peace, and for the church's sake, He does not rest, but still continue to accomplish His Father's will, interceding still for us, His children, His blood-bought children, and waiting soon, it is coming, waiting until the time shall come when He shall take His great power and reign in His eternal kingdom. And the number of His elect shall be accomplished. Spend much time, brethren, less time on social media and what have you. Less time on all the cares and the concern of this life. Yes, pray that the Lord will give you strength and wisdom to fulfill all your earthly responsibility with excellence, but spend more time, more of your energy, thinking, reflecting, and giving thanks to God for Jesus Christ, your Savior, to meditate upon His suffering, to constantly remind yourself of Calvary's cross. If we are honest with ourselves, isn't it? If we are truly honest with ourselves, brethren, are we not cold, and oftentimes cold and indifferent to our Lord Jesus, whom we claim, whom we loudly trumpet that I am a child of God, I am a Christian, I bear the name of Christ? Oh, all this are just lip service, isn't it? Still here we see Jesus is the servant of God and the friend of sinners. His open hands, His side, His feet, bearing the marks that, like the scar in the ear of the Jewish slave, made Him to be recognized as a servant, Savior, eternally. Believers in Christ, what is it that would endear Jesus to you and to me? I repeat, what is it that would endear Jesus to you and to me? The answer is this. The Lord Jesus' only motive for having his ears pierced or dig or open was his love for his blood-bought children. Read what the servant says in verse 5 again. I love my master, I love my wife and my children. This is what our Savior, servant Savior said. He loved God, his Heavenly Father. As God himself, he loved infinitely him who is one with him. Even his Father, as a perfect man, he loved God with all his heart and soul and strength. He also loved his bride. And you know the word bride here in this context? The church. Not this building again, but his people. He loved the church. He loved his Heavenly Father. He loved his bride, the church, even though there was nothing good in her to love. Is there anything good in us that God should love us? Do we really deserve God's love? But he thought much of her. He thinks much of her now. The church is his bride. And when Jesus looked at his church, his people, he saw his character reflected in the people of God. He saw her as what she is to be when she is perfect through the Holy Spirit, and he loved her with an everlasting love. Christian believers, may you be comforted to know those who are truly his, may you be comforted to know that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself up to be your Savior on the cross, he has said and he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you, any one of you, troubled? You who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, are you walking in the valley? Are you troubled? Are you distressed? Are you weary of life? And you feel like giving up? Then listen, for Jesus says to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Dear friends, let me say to you, let me say that Jesus, the Savior of sinners, will never give up on you, will never give up the work of saving sinners who would humble themselves and come to him. Come to him in humility and repent of their sin and seek for forgiveness and cleansing. He will in no wise cast out such a one. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him or come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Brethren, constantly keep this in your mind. And in your heart, Jesus' ears were pierced for you. For this work, the work of intercession, will be his lifelong work as he lives. Now we come to our second point, and I'd like to speak to those who are, or those who are like the servants in the Old Testament, have had their ears pierced. And I'm referring to the Christian believers. Our second lesson is this. Christ, whose ears have been pierced, is the believer's example. Is the believer's example. Those of you who are bought by the blood of Christ, born of the Spirit of God. Remember, with honor comes responsibility. You and I who are in Christ are obliged to remain as servants of God. We are not to forsake God. We are not to turn away from Jesus. Christian believers, you have had your year, you have had your years bore or pierced. What was one of the things that did it? You have your years pierced. What was the things that did it? Think of it. You are redeemed by the blood of Christ, brought into His kingdom of light and truth. What was it that brought about that? Is it not the past mercies of the Lord upon you? Have you forgotten what Christ did for you at Calvary's cross? If so, if you acknowledge that indeed it is Christ's mercy that has brought me into His kingdom, then can you forsake the Lord Jesus? He loved me, brought me with His blood. And as the writer of this poem, I read to you, He saw me ruined in the fall. He loved me, notwithstanding all. He has bore our years. His infinite mercy in the past has fastened us to Jesus' doorposts. We owe our gracious Master, the Lord Jesus, so much that our years are bored and we cannot leave Him. We cannot forsake Him. Beside our years being bored because of past mercies, our years are also pierced by what? By a sense of our present helplessness. By a sense of our weaknesses. Brethren, what can you and I do the next moment if we had no Savior to depend on, none of His grace to preserve us, to keep us from sin, and none of His love to comfort us in affliction? What will happen to you, will me, if we have no Jesus, if God did not send His Son? And this is unavoidable, I'm sure. Only the older ones who have gone through multiple times of painful, hurtful experiences, experience the troubles of this sinful world. Only they, as they grow older, get this sense or appreciate deeper of our helplessness and our weaknesses. The younger ones, as I said, it is unavoidable. Why? Because at that stage or at this stage of your life, you have all the strength and power, good memory, sharp eyes, you know, perhaps even with the gift of the gab, you can speak, you can think, you can move, jump, fly, and you will never think of how weak or have this sense of weakness in you until you grow older. This is a fact. You will never be able, the younger one will never be able to understand what's so difficult to do this and do that. Until perhaps when you forsake when you're young, until you're really knocked out that you have to lie on the bed and your mother has to do everything for you, feed you, dress you, then perhaps you understand a little bit of what it is to be weak and helpless. And so perhaps for the older ones, let us sometimes be a little bit forbearing towards the young people for their foolish pride and boastfulness, because they have not reached that stage. And for the younger ones, learn. The day will come. You will face that. This is the reality of this life in this sin-cursed world. And so here we are shown not only of past mercy, our helplessness. We can do nothing, Jesus said. Without me, thou can do nothing. Will we not be in utter ruin, misery and sorrow if God has not sent His Son? We have to so-called fend for ourselves in this world with no divine help. So dare we forsake Jesus and go back to the world of sin and bondage? Now have we found contentment in Christ? Now have we found rest in the Lord Jesus? Yes, though not fully complete rest until we reach the other side of the shore. But at least in Christ, we have, as compared to those in the world who are unbelievers, we have that rest in the Lord Jesus. And so, now that we have all this, all that our soul wished for and need for us to live in this world, can we leave the Lord Jesus and forsake Him? The psalmist says, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee." Is this truly from your heart? To echo what the psalmist says. And so learn here, brethren. Let us learn here from Christ's example. Never to turn away from the Lord. For you have an intercessor in heaven and on earth in the person of the Holy Spirit. And this brings me to another reason why those years are pierced. Those whose years are pierced. There is another reason you must continue to live a life of servitude, of worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the reason is it concerns our future. Scriptures, the Word of God has already informed us that we are to expect between now and heaven, or between now and getting to heaven, a great many storms of life will come. Spiritual battles to fight. And what could we do without our Lord Jesus, the captain and the pilot of our souls? Can you fight it? Can you face all the troubles and the difficulties and the challenges of this life on your own, in your own strength, in your own wisdom? No way. Every one of us, remember, we are but human. No matter what, even if you are young, with all your energy and power and strength, and all your training that you receive, there is a limitation. And so we need God. We need God. There are many arrows flying. There are many enemies. Satan, the evil one, is waiting, setting a lot of temptations for us. So what can we do without our shield? What can we do without the armor of the gospel? Can we face our arch enemy, the evil one, on our own? Can you deal with that sinful heart in us, that sin nature in us, the enemy inside us? Don't forget, even if you are a truly born again believer, that old nature oftentimes. And that is what we call spiritual battle, because the old nature will always surface. The voice will always tell you to do the opposite of what the new nature also inside you will tell you to do. And there is this constant fight. And can you manage that? No. And so, dear friends and brethren, there is a stronger reason beside our weaknesses and our helplessness. And there is one more stronger reason, and that is our eternal hope of glory. Should we forsake the Lord Jesus and forfeit ourselves of heaven and its happiness? Do you want that? Do you want that? To give up all that, to forfeit yourself of heaven and your future happiness and blessedness, to forsake the Lord Jesus now? We are expecting to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven, are we not? We sometimes hear people who have great expectation. And yes, we who are believers, we ought to have great expectations. We are not watching for that man's shoes, but we are looking for the golden sandals that they wear in the land of the living. We are not expecting the legacies of our earthly fathers and mothers or family members, but we are expecting the blessed legacy of which Christ has left to all his chosen people, to be with him where Jesus is. Yes, the son of poverty is expecting one of the many mansions. The child of tribulation is expecting to have to have every tear wiped away from his or her eyes. Are you not, or do you not desire that? To be soon to be with Jesus, to be in that place where there is no more sorrow, no more tears, no more sighing, no more mourning, no more pain. Do you desire to continue expecting better things in this world? We are expecting, I hope you are, expecting to hear this from our Lord Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So, give up Christ? No. The thoughts of heaven pierces our ear once again. We cannot give him up. We must still cling to the Lord Jesus. Though, indeed, we must not deny the fact that we are still living in this miserable world full of sorrow and pain and hurt and troubles. But yet, we must continue to live or cling on to Christ, because we have respect unto the recompense of the reward, says Paul in Hebrews 11:26. So, brethren, though you are afflicted, troubled, saddened and hurt by many happenings or events in your life, challenges, stress, never give up and turn away from the Lord Jesus. He will give you the grace for each day, for each trouble, for each affliction. He will give you the peace if only you believe in him and cast all your cares upon him and commit all your ways to him. He will care for you. Now, we must not forget that all these spikes and all this, the instruments, this all are sharply pointed. But I reckon some of us have not been pierced. However, to those who have, I am sure you felt very blessed. While the piercing was going on, and may you be pierced by them again and again. But I note here in our text that I cannot do as the minister of the gospel, I cannot do or I cannot pierce your ears. For it says there in the text or in my text, the master was to pierce the servant's ear. You cannot do it to me. I cannot do it to you. It must be the master. And so there is no man that can bind a soul to Christ, but Christ himself must do it. There is such a struggle in man's heart against Christ that only the high priest who knows how to bind the sacrifice can ever cast the cords of love around the sinner and to bring him firmly to the altar of sacrifice. If, dear friends, you are afraid of backsliding, if you are afraid of growing cold towards your Lord and Savior and turn aside from the Lord Jesus, may I suggest that you bore or you pierce your ears once again now. Ask the Lord Jesus to open that scar afresh and let you feel it until you have no doubt that you have had the Master boring your ears, piercing your ears once again, that you may feel it, that you may identify with Christ indeed. There is one more point here I'd like us to take note, which is this, from our text. It is on the ear that the boring is to be done. It is not on the hand. Notice that. It is on the ear. Why? The piercing of the ear was the emblem of Christian obedience to the Lord Jesus. Christian obedience to the laws of God. Christian obedience to the teachings of Christ. For it is with the ear that the servant hears. The Christian man, woman, boy or girl, then will be mainly God's servant through his or her ear. We hear God's will and therefore we do it. He that have ears to hear, let him hear. The obedient servant only has to hear his or her master's voice and he or she runs at once to do his bidding. Mind the Lord does not say this to you, for if a thing be his will, all that you and I need to do is to do it, asking no question. Do you know something? And this is very interesting as I prepared this sermon. And of course it is not my own spirit-inspired thought. But as I was reading a commentary, I came across this. And it is true. I have never heard nor read of an angel in heaven asking God why he was ordered to do such and such a thing. Is it not true? Did you come across in the Bible? I mean, of course, we are not talking about the fallen angels. We are talking about the other angels, so-called the good angels per se. Have you read in the scripture any part that so-and-so maybe say Gabriel the archangel decided to ask God, what? Asking me to do that? Why? No? Have you read that before? No. The angels in heaven serve God there without questioning, and so may his will be done by us on earth after the same fashion as it is done in heaven. Lastly, One more point, please bear with me. I want you to notice that when the ear was bore to the doorpost, it was bore or pierced to the doorpost in the presence of the judges. Ah! Is there something for us here? Yes! It means to show us that it was not done in secret, not done in some back room. It was done in public with witnesses present. If this man is going to devote himself, or this woman is going to devote himself to worship God, to serve the Master, he must be brought right out to the doorpost, not in the back alley. And so the spiritual significance of this point is that consecration to Christ, brethren, is not a thing to be done in secret. You who love the Lord Jesus Christ, owe it, confess it, proclaim it. If you are His servants, wear His insignia. If you are His servants, come out and profess to be so. Have your ears brought to the very doorpost. Publicly and openly avow yourselves to be on the Lord's side. Do not be ashamed of your Savior, the Lord Jesus. Jesus says this in Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, to close, as I mentioned earlier, I reckon there are some whose ears have not been pierced. And there are those who think their ears are bored, but are not. And so, if it is so, I say to you this, if your hearts be right with God, and you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ only, instead of making a resolution, offer up a prayer. And let this be your prayer. Lord, while I live, until I die, I desire to be thy servant to the utmost of my power. I desire to do thy will or to suffer it. I give myself up without reserve or limitation. All that I am, all that I have, I give up to thee. Take me from this moment onward, and let me not offer this prayer as a mere matter of form or hypocrisy, but may I offer it heartily and from my inmost soul. Enable me to say, I am thy servant. O God, sanctify me, soul and body, for thy name's sake. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, help us. We confess, Heavenly Father, that we have not loved you as we ought. We have taken our salvation for granted. We have taken our Redeemer for granted. We have taken all our spiritual privileges for granted. We are careless in our walk with thee. O Heavenly Father, forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us, each one of your children, by thy shed blood. Sanctify us anew. Indeed, sanctify us, soul and body, for thy name's sake, for thy holy worship and service. Hear this our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.